Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast that helps solo business owners think better, not just know more. I'm Libby Langley, and each week I uncover the messy truth behind the internet's favourite business advice, assumptions, and aspirations, helping you decide what's actually right for you and your business. Let's get started with this week's episode. I want to talk to you today about success. Oh, because success is just such a subjective thing, I think. And yet, there are the conformist norms that we need to adhere to the whole time, right? So what we've been sold is the idea that success is measurable, that success is, we all know what success is. We all know when we've reached the pinnacle of success. You know, there's lots of things that it's measured by, such as income, followers, the awards that you get, growth, number of staff, things like square footage of your office, six figures, seven figures, the car you drive, the Rolex, living in Dubai, whatever, right? Those are all universally agreed, internet accepted measures of success, right? There's success is something that you can point at and say, there it is. Woo, there it is. And I think the underlying claim of all of this is that if you are successful, everybody else should be able to see it. Why? Why does it matter so much to us what other people think? Why does it matter to the internet what other people think? It's so weird, because who cares? Why should you? None of us know who these people are. It's really strange. So where did this kind of, success, we've got to be able to see it, success is visibly measurable thing come from? Well, businesses have never been designed around happiness, ever. But for most of history, businesses existed to produce more goods, or to create more wealth, or to employ more people. So economic success was measurable, right? There's GDP, there's profit, there's market share, there's output. And I think that this thinking has been naturally kind of cascaded down, and certainly taught in things. And we love an external scoreboard, right? We compare ourselves to others all the time. You think about the biggest house or the nicest car or the biggest promotion. In business, we simply just kind of invent new scoreboards for that, you know, like revenue followers, the number of speaking gigs you've done, the book deals, the awards, that kind of stuff. But it's really just so strange, such a strange concept, isn't it? Because, you know, if you think about houses and, you know, all of this, you know you've made it when you've got the big house. It's really weird, though, because nobody, oh, that's a nice house, you say. But nobody's like, do you like living here? Are you happy here? Do you have enough money to pay all the bills? Or do you just have this big house and you can't afford to eat? Or is it really too big to live in? It's so strange. And when I had a reasonable size 3-bed detached house that I lived in for about 15 years. I really, really liked living there, really happy living there. But it was always, I can remember saying, right, when I want to buy one of the big 5-beds, kind of round the corner up the road a bit, with the detached double garage, then I know I've made it. And it's like, why? It's so stupid. Because why? Because it would have been really expensive. We used to live somewhere that was very expensive to buy. But what, you know, to what end? There were only ever two of us. There are only ever going to be two of us, an assortment of cats. But it's like, why would we need all that space? And made it, you know, I would have known I'd made it. To what exactly? It is really funny how houses and cars are this kind of status symbol. You know, success, I think, often is measured by status symbols. And I mean, I never did buy the 5-bed detached house with the detached double garage, but I actually ended up selling that house because I'd got divorced and I bought a little 2-bed terrace. I went completely the other way. But then each time we moved, we bought the bigger house and the bigger house and the bigger house. And when we were in the big house that we did buy, a big 4-bed detached, we didn't really know how to live in it. We didn't, you know, it was just, we just had these massive rooms and it was really strange. And we lived there for, honestly, I think we lived there for two, did we live there for just over 2 years, two and a bit years? And I think I bought 3 or 4 different sofas in that time. That's a whole different story. But anyway, because to try and furnish the place, because we didn't know how to live in it. And then we moved to a smaller 4-bed house. And we always said we lived well in the house, but we never called it home. And so now we've downsized again, and hopefully we'll stay here for a while, just to a little 3-bed semi. But we released a load of equity and we've got fields at the back and there's cows in the fields at the minute. And it's like the measure of success there. I tell you that just because houses are kind of a public beacon of success, right? We see the big houses with the gates. Oh, they must be really successful. But success can be about so much more than that. It can be about the internal measurements that we all have inside ourselves, rather than just the status symbol of things. And it's quite an interesting learning curve and quite an interesting journey that we can go on to discover what success actually means for us, because we do follow the narrative that we, you know, of the scoreboard, right? The increase in revenue, the increase in followers, the increase in speaking gigs, maybe a book deal or publishing a book and getting awards. And certainly social media has perpetuated a lot of that, because it's very easy to share something about being a success without it actually kind of meaning anything. And I think really that started with Instagram. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I've been involved with social media and the digital world for 20 years now. Yikes. But 20 years now. And I don't remember chasing the likes at it being as much of a thing until Instagram came around and you had to have 10,000 followers in order to be able to get a link on your stories. You used to be able to swipe up to go to the page or to use the link. And I think that's when that really kind of exploded. And that was like became the kind of pinnacle of success. I mean, people have always chased likes and the kind of vanity metrics, but I think that's when it got really, really bad. And thankfully that doesn't exist anymore and it's not so much of a big deal, because everybody knows that it's harder than it was and all that. But what the internet did was it made success public. And I think that sharing your life on Instagram, having to show the shiny all the time and Instagram life versus real life and all that, that really is problematic in the way that we measure and define our own success. Because it just doesn't matter what a stranger in Tennessee thinks about you in Sheffield at all. There's no reason that it matters, right? You're never going to meet this person. You're never going to know this person's real name, probably. It just doesn't matter, right? But so 20 years ago, I mean, I think what's changed over the last 20 years is that you often had no idea how much someone earned, right? You could see their status symbol of their house or their watch or their car or something like that. But it wasn't people actually had these things, I think. It wasn't the, I've hired an Airbnb, but for this photo shoot, I'm going to tell you it's my house. Or I rented a Lamborghini in Dubai and I'm going to tell you it's my, on a 5-day break. I'm going to tell you I live here and this is my car and all that. I think, you know, that's changed in the last 20 years, right? Because what's really so weird is that people will say on social media, I hit 100K. I just had my first £1 million launch. I had my biggest month ever. It's like success became content. And it's such a strange concept that, because whilst I'm not saying for a moment we shouldn't talk about money, you know, I'm not saying that, but it can be incredibly helpful to understand how people run their businesses and see all the finances and see the, you know, to see kind of everything under the bonnet, if you like. But that's not what most people do. They'll just go, you know, oh, sharing the secrets of my 100K launch. And it's like, yeah, that might be turnover. And you might have, you know, made £10,000 profit. So whatever, that's not success, is it? But it's really, really strange that over the last 20 years, particularly over the last, what, 10, I suppose, maybe 12, 13, is that you now, people talk very much about what they've earned or what they've generated. It's just really weird. It's a very strange concept that success has become content. And there's psychologists will they'll distinguish between intrinsic success, which is the kind of money status and recognition, and intrinsic success, which is what we feel, you know, that's our autonomy, it's our relationships, it's our meaning, all those things, right? And research consistently shows that the intrinsic measure of success, it far better predicts well-being, you know, good well-being, right, than extrinsic ones. And I think it's because intrinsic stuff, it's inside, it's us, it's about us, it's our mental health, it's our longevity, it's our life. Whereas the extrinsic success, the external stuff that people talk about, you know, the 100K launch, talk about on social media, it's just about vanity, it's just about validation, it's just about, I don't know, saying, I don't know what it is. It's so weird. It's such a weird concept, right? And we've all done it, absolutely, saying, I haven't, you know, of course I've done stuff, talked about successful launches I've had, or, you know, amazing clients, or stages I've spoken on and all that. You know, we do share the good stuff. And I'm certainly not saying that that shouldn't be done. But it's just so weird that people will talk so publicly and feel that they need to make all this stuff public rather than focusing on the good work that they do, which they don't always do, right? So, you know, that's why. And certainly without focusing on the intrinsic success, you know, how they actually feel, what makes them happy, what lights their life up with joy, why having a 100K launch has improved their life at all. Because it doesn't. It often doesn't, because it's not profit. And it's really hard work. Or they've got a big team that they've had to pay a lot of money to. So it's the way we look at success, or the way the internet looks at success, is kind of quite skewed from how it has been, certainly prior to 20 years ago. And, you know, if you go back 50 years or something, then it's completely different. I can obviously completely and utterly see the appeal of it too, though. You know, external definitions, they really are comforting, because if success has a number attached to it, then you know when you've reached it. So, success is 10. Oh, I'm at 11. I'm really successful. Yeah. It removes all the uncertainty, and it gives complete direction to things, and it makes comparison easier, which means that we know we're better than the person next to us because our numbers are bigger. It protects us from doubt, self-confidence, lack of self-confidence, the voices in our head. If we've got the numbers that show it, then... But it is interesting, you know, talk about numbers. And I track quite a lot of stuff, and I'm quite a numbers-focused person and a kind of audit-focused person, I suppose. Autistic. And I do track my numbers. You know, I know how many people listen to this podcast, for example. I know what countries they're in. And I always like to see the most exotic countries that people have listened in, because that makes me happy. Same with my email list. You know, I know how many people get my emails each week and how many people read stuff, how many people click on stuff. There's a lot of data available, right? And there are benchmarks in all of this. And there are lines for improvement that we all have. So a trajectory of growth, however fast or slow that might be, right? But there's always a kind of trajectory of growth. And some of it is like, why does this matter? And really, for me, I mean, I don't ever talk about the numbers because it doesn't, as far as I can see, it doesn't matter to anyone else. But I think it matters to me just to know that there is this slow and steady element of growth, right? It just shows kind of gentle, continuous improvement, 1% gains, that kind of stuff. And to me, that is enough of a success. And also, having done over 200 episodes of this podcast, is like, yeah, well, you know, that most people don't do that. Who have a podcast, they do three and then give up. And having been in business for 15 years, you know, all of those things, to me, it's that kind of the consistency more than anything, actually, that is a measure of success for me, I think, because the money is the money. You know, the money is what we need, my husband and I, which is what we need, what we want to live our lives. And it's not, I mean, I don't care what, it doesn't matter to anybody else what I bring in or don't bring in at all, because I'm not selling that. You know, what I do with my clients is that I support them to be more profitable in their business, to run their business more efficiently, to run their business more effectively, and most importantly, right, to be happy in the business. That's what I do in my business sort outs. That's how I work with my clients. And so whilst money is important, it's relative, because I have clients who just want to clear £1,500 a month, right? That will help them. That will give them everything that they want and need into their household. Fine. You know, the 10K months, the 100K launch isn't necessarily what everybody wants. So to have that as the kind of barometer of success is like, do you actually want that? Because the amount of time and energy and effort and type of business isn't necessarily what the time and energy you want to expend, nor the type of business that you want. So you have to kind of think about both sides of things when you're chasing success. And I think it's important that we decide for ourselves what success looks like for us, because what protects us about these universal truths, is that if everyone agrees what success looks like, we don't have to make any decisions. And there's a real comfort in that, of just being the thing that, do you know, just being the thing that makes the difference, right? And so if everybody says, this is what we do, then we go, yeah, this is what we do. And that's the thing that we drive for. But unless we stop and think about it, we're just going to be chasing an impossible dream that we don't necessarily want. And I've done that. You know, I've talked about my journey a lot. When I first started my business, I was, you know, build a team, grow £1 million business. Okay, that's what we do then. Okay, I'll do that. That's not what I wanted, even in the slightest. I mean, I never got to £1 million, but I certainly got the team and I certainly got to multi-six figures. And it's like, yeah, it's not what I want. Doesn't make me happy. Don't want to do this. And so when you follow somebody else's blueprint for success, that's when you kind of get into trouble. And that's when burnout comes. And that's when apathy comes. And that's when hatred of your business comes and all those things. So one of the most important things in business is to sit down or go for a walk. You don't have to actually sit, but to sit down and think about, what do I actually want? What does success feel like for me? And coming back to the house thing, it's quite interesting because this house, you know, it's significantly smaller than the last couple of houses that we've lived in. But there's only two of us. Most of the time, there's only me here because my husband's out of work all day. So I've got my office, which is great. It's fine. You know, we've got a nice kitchen. I love cooking. We both love cooking. I particularly love cooking. We've got our lounge. You know, it's got enough room, but it's the garden, right? I absolutely love gardening. I spend as much time as possible as I can out in the garden. We've got the fields at the back and now the cows are back and it's joyous. And we sometimes sit at the patio at the very bottom of the garden. And whilst we bought a renovation project, so there is so much to do. And yes, if we thought of ourselves in a house, it wouldn't be this house, if that makes sense, because we imagine ourselves probably in a much bigger house, probably somewhere different. It's kind of weird, right? You sort of play with this stuff yourself in your own minds. But the thing that we wanted was to be able to sit in the countryside just with peace and quiet. And it's like, well, surely this means that we've made it. Surely this is it. This is what we absolutely wanted. And it's sometimes quite difficult to reposition your thinking on in terms of what success means, because you've spent your whole life chasing something else. You've spent your whole life coveting a pair of Louboutins. I mean, I bought myself, you know, I spent £450 on this pair of shoes. It's just like, I think I wore them about three times because they were just so high. But it was like, yeah, but I've made it. I've got the shoes. And then I sold them a few years later on eBay. So, you know, it's like, is it actually what you want? And that's what I would really kind of invite you to think about, is like, what does success really, really look like for you? Because the problem isn't success itself at all. And it's not a dirty word. In the slightest, I think it's a glorious word. And we, you know, celebrating success is something that I absolutely love. Whatever the success is, I will champion strangers on the internet, on Threads, you know, who've achieved something, who've run their first 5K. And, you know, I'm just like, yeah. And, or clients who've turned around the business and now they're so much happier, and, or got their first client, or got their thousandth client. It's just, success is an absolutely wonderful thing, right? But the problem is not success, it's borrowed success. This definition that so many of us inherit, you know, from our parents, from our bosses, from Instagram, from LinkedIn, from the business world, without ever asking, is this actually what you want? And it's really important to remember that success changes over the years. So 25-year-old you, or in my case, whatever I was, 28, 30, to buy the big 5-bed detached house with the big detached garage. I mean, I don't want that now. It just feels like a load of cleaning and just loads of stuff. I don't really like stuff. You know, 25-year-old you wanted something that 35-year-old you probably didn't or had already achieved and then therefore didn't. 45-year-old you want something different. 55-year-old you. You know, they don't want the same things. And yet we often keep chasing an old definition. So I think what happens is that many entrepreneurs eventually discover that they built the exact business that they once wanted, but now they hate living it. Yeah, and that's what I did. You know, happens a lot. So instead of asking yourself, what does success look like? You can ask yourself two things. You can say, what does a successful Tuesday look like? And really break it down to that granular level, you know, because that's much harder to fake. So what would a successful Tuesday look like to you? Would it involve rushing meetings, clients, Probably not. Would it involve writing, walking, finishing at four and earning enough? Probably, right? Not putting words in your mouth, but I'm guessing it wouldn't be full of back-to-back meetings anyway. Or the other question to ask yourself instead of what does success look like is what does success feel like? How am I going to feel when I know I'm there? And I just think that that's just such a more useful, valuable, relevant and kind way to treat our own success. Because if you feel contentment, if you feel safe, if you feel secure, if you feel happy, if you can go and sit at the bottom of the garden and talk to the cows over the hedge, it's like, to me, you know, that's like, I can do this. I can do this. I've got to the place where I can do this because my business is good. My life is good. My house is good. My surroundings are good. You know, that's success. What more actually is there? And the more is often like material stuff, which is fine. You know, you can turn up the dial and earn a bit more maybe. But it's actually that feeling of contentment that really makes such a difference when you're defining success. So that's what I invite you to do. Instead of asking yourself, what does success feel like? Ask yourself, what does a successful Tuesday look like? And then write down the things that are in there. And ask yourself, what does success feel like? And I bet you there won't be a single Rolex in there. There won't be a single trip to Dubai. Well, there might be, but you know, I'm paraphrasing the bros on Instagram there. And there certainly won't be a rented Lamborghini anywhere in sight, or maybe even a 100K launch. I just don't think they won't be the first things that come into your mind. So do let me know what's come up for you, because as you know, I love to hear from you and I find it really, really interesting what this sparks for you. And if you want me to help you with anything that's going through your mind, then find me at libbylangley.com. Come work with me and we'll make everything super successful and super joyful for you. All right. I'll see you next week on another episode of Messy Business. Lots of love. Bye. If this episode of Messy Business made you think differently, why not share it with someone who might need to hear it too? And if you're enjoying the show, make sure you're following wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss future episodes. Until next time, remember, change how you work, not who you are.